Hello again, everybody. This is Lance Russell with Championship Wrestling with another big week. Join us right now.
Hey, welcome to the Double Dropkick Show. I'm Heath Mulliken.
I'm Mark Whitman.
And we're continuing.
Wait. Before you get started.
Okay.
I want to give you.
What?
A personal thank you.
Okay.
I got myself a nice fancy new headset here. You've listened to the criticism of the people who demanded that I get equal treatment and fair treatment on this show.
Listen, Mark, I went out to my mailbox one day.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And you said, boy, these are some nice fancy headphones I ordered myself. I can't.
No. I went out to get my mail one day. There wasn't anything in the mailbox. But on my porch, there was a sack of letters filled, hundreds of letters demanding, Heath, you need to spend your hard-earned money to buy Mark a pair of the nice headsets. What's crazy is we got these nice headsets, and the first time I used it on commentary, nothing worked.
It sucks.
But we are on equal footing now as far as
I can hear you.
Yeah.
It's awesome. Like, you're right in my ear. I love the sweet sound of your sweet voice.
Yeah.
I just want, and listen, you had 100, 150 letters. I just want you to know how much it cost me to pay them little kids to write all them letters.
Well, I figure some of your family members, because I couldn't understand half of them. Hey, if you've been listening to this, we're in the midst of the Death Dealers Invitational. We're about to, I don't even know what part this is. Part 7?
Who knows?
This is kind of taking on a life of its own. This is going to end up being a lot more episodes than the singles tournament, just because, not even by plan, we've ended up, we talk about some of the matches, and then we get on a subject related. And so I know these next two Sweet 16 episodes, we're going to talk about four matches in each, but there's already some topics that I want to discuss relating to some of these matches. So if you need to go back and listen to the first six episodes or the first seven, I'm being totally honest. I guess the first eight episodes.
Really? We've done eight episodes
so far? Yeah, because we get to going and we start talking about things, and you talk about, you know, Kevin Nash and his ability as a worker. You know, his ability in the sense of working. Like, when you talk about any other profession, a good worker means you make good money.
Right.
Except in wrestling.
Right.
You be a good worker and not make any money. And so that was good.
And there's some people that would rather be considered a quote-unquote good worker and ruin their bodies and not make any money, as opposed to other guys that would say, I'm just going to – like superstar Billy Graham
was
not a bumper.
No.
Jesse Ventura, not a bumper.
Right.
Neither one of those guys. They would work a match around not having to take bumps so that it could extend their career so that they could make more money.
But then
who are the real marks?
But listen.
That's my question.
Ironically, it did not extend superstar Billy Graham's career.
True.
But he had other extenuating circumstances.
Yes, yes. There were issues going on with him that hurt him, you know.
Steroids will ruin your body.
And he's pretty open about that.
Right.
He doesn't – it's not like he hides or shies away from that. Steroids had a pretty negative effect on him.
And several months ago, we talked about superstar Billy Graham. His old DVD's on the network, and I've been watching bits and pieces of it.
It's great.
And really good.
It's really good.
Really good story. So here we go. If you're looking at your bracket, and I know you're all at home looking at your bracket, top left-hand corner – I've been looking forward. We got eight matches we're talking about. I've been looking forward to all of them. First match, Mark, The Revival versus Demolition.
I see. I like the matches like this.
Yeah.
Because I don't know who to go with on that.
Right.
My heart would say, let's go ahead and put Demolition over. Because more people know who Demolition are.
Right.
Ultimately.
Right.
And it goes back to that, who's a better worker? I mean, how'd you talk about the mass superstar? And I mean, the Revival are great. I like the Revival.
Yes.
But I think Demolition is the team to go with.
I absolutely agree. I mean, we're talking about now we're into the nitty-gritty.
Right. And you're talking about a tag team from that everybody looks back on very fondly. I mean, you're talking about a tag team, and we'll see the other one a couple of matches down, that people looked at and said, that's a ripoff.
Yes.
And they got it over.
Yeah.
They kind of took it in a little bit different direction. And they were workers, especially Bill Eadie, really work. And they got it over. Whereas so many others who were seen as clones of another team or clones of trying to copy somebody were not able to successfully get it over. Or they wind up just being fodder when they actually brought the Road Warriors in.
Right, right.
For them to beat up. Whereas Demolition held their own and established themselves. And I just feel like they're there was this time when they didn't get their due.
Right.
Now I think people are looking back and giving them the credit that they deserve for being as good a team as they were.
I absolutely agree.
And like top two or three entrance songs in the history of wrestling.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think once the lawsuit and stuff is out of the way, they're going to be in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. For those that say, why are Demolition not in the Hall of Fame? The answer is because Bill Eadie is like whose name is at the top of the list of people that are suing them for all these concussion related. He and Animal.
Right.
A couple other. I mean, a lot of guys are on that list, but those are the two big names at the top of it are Bill Eadie and Joe Laurinaitis. So.
Yeah.
That's why Demolition will not be going in the Hall of Fame anytime soon.
So Demolition, our first team in the Elite Eight of the Death Dealers Invitational. Now, our next match, we say it all the time, contrast in styles.
Yes.
The Skyscrapers of Dan Spivey and Sid Vicious versus the Rock and Roll Express.
I love the idea of the Rock and Roll Express continuously facing these big teams.
Yes.
And the story being, can they make it to the end? And
right.
I think that is one of the stories of this tournament.
Yes.
So why would I want to eliminate that? I want to continue that. I want the Skyscrapers to beat Ricky Morton up for 15 minutes, and I want him to make the hot tag, and I want them to hit the double drop kick on Sid Vicious, and I want them to win.
Yes.
Because I'm building a groundswell of support. People are going, there's no way in the world that these two little guys should be able to beat. Who'd they beat previously? It was another.
Rock and Roll Express, they beat the Miracle Violence Connection and the Samoan SWAT team.
Right, so this is the story. They have beat these teams that they should, and they're going to continue that because eventually.
Right.
They may wind up facing somebody who they can't.
See, and here's the thing. The first few rounds, Mark, we're taking like round one's one weekend, round two's the next weekend. Now we're getting to where where your Sweet 16 matches are Saturday night, your Elite Eight matches are Sunday night, and then the following weekend is when we're in Atlanta and Boston.
Right.
So Ricky Morton and Robert Gibson are showing up Sunday night after beating the Skyscrapers, and they're bandaged up. Their ribs are taped. I mean, they look like warmed over death.
Right.
And they're going to be facing Demolition.
And they're going to be facing Demolition.
Love it.
This is, I mean, just think of it. You're talking about the Samoan SWAT team.
Yes.
The Miracle Violence Connection. The Skyscrapers. Demolition. If it plays out.
Right.
They get the ultimate badass tag team of all time.
Yeah.
If it plays out that way. We're not there yet.
Right.
It may not play out that way. That's an incredible story.
I 100%. We could not.
No.
We couldn't have scripted any better because the first round's a blind draw, not only who you face, but where you're placed on the bracket.
Right.
And that's why we do it like that, because we want to almost force ourselves into tough situations. I absolutely 100% agree with you. That's the story of the tournament.
Speaking of forcing yourself into a tough situation,
yeah,
this next match, it's hard to make a call on. The Brainbusters, Arn and Tully versus the Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors of Hawk and Animal.
This could have been easily the finals of this tournament.
Yes. No. Listen, I'm going to be honest with you.
Yeah.
9 times out of 10, some marks get together and do a fantasy tournament.
Yeah.
That is the final match.
Yeah, yeah.
And they put Arn and Tully over because, quote, unquote, they're better workers.
Right.
The Legion of Doom, let me say this, and I don't want to forecast the finish of the tournament.
Right.
Because that's unfair because I don't know. I'm booking changes based on who guys are facing.
Yeah.
But on that page,
yeah,
right there,
yeah,
there are – the Legion of Doom, and then over here I see the Outsiders.
Uh-huh.
And just as a tag, not as a tag team, singles guys, you got the Rock and Sock, okay?
Right.
As a tag team, that's a different, that's an anomaly. They're single stars. I'm talking about a tag team. You could argue that about the Outsiders too, that they're so big because they're singles stars who got together to form a tag team. The Legion of Doom, the Road Warriors, are the only team in this tournament that they used to go on TV and not put them on television and say, if you want to see the Road Warriors,
yes,
you buy a ticket and you go to Greenville and the Road Warriors will be there.
Yes.
If you want to see the Road Warriors, they'll be at the Omni in Atlanta on Friday night. You buy a ticket and you go to the Omni and you can see the Road Warriors. They're the only tag team in this entire tournament,
right,
that you could put them in the main event against anybody.
Yeah, and it would be believable.
And they are the main event.
Yeah. Here's the thing. In wrestling, they don't call it a Red Dragon pop. They don't call it an APA pop. They call it a Road Warrior pop.
That is the term for it.
And let me tell you, the first time – I don't know if it was the first time the Road Warriors ever came to Greenville, but I remember the first time I ever saw them in Greenville. I remember where I was standing. I remember them coming through, and I remember as a kid, 11, 12, 13, most of the wrestlers would come by, you pat them on the back.
Uh-huh.
And they were babyface at the time, but I'm like,
they were scared.
Is this acceptable?
Right.
And I was sitting there thinking, this is right when they had gotten the shoulder spikes. I'm like, man, if they come out with shoulder spikes, ain't no way I'm patting them on the back.
Right. I'll have to slap them on the butt when they walk by.
But I just remember just being awestruck.
In awe of the Road Warriors. I never got to see that. Like I've seen a lot of cool stuff in wrestling. Yeah. I never got to experience the Road Warriors like in their prime. With
right.
Iron Man playing.
Greenville very rarely played music in those days.
Right.
And so you get ready for a match and you don't know who's coming. And then you just kind of see them and you don't know if you're going to be running to the rail or not. But I'm pretty sure I pushed over some old ladies to get
there. You probably did. And I want to say Starrcade 87. There's a lot of instances of dusty finishes that hurt business.
Yeah.
But the dusty finish with Arn and Tully versus the Road Warriors at Starrcade 87 hurt business.
Yeah.
Especially in Chicago.
Yes.
Because the build had been Arn and Tully had been cheating. They'd been doing this. They'd been doing that. And now the Road Warriors have got them.
Yeah.
In Chicago. There's no way that the Road Warriors don't win the belts. And they did a dusty finish. And the Road Warriors, they got the pop. But the Road Warriors didn't win the belts. And it hurt their business.
Yeah.
And it hurt their pay-per-view business. And it hurt their live gate business in Chicago and in other places. When that was a turning point in that company. When people started saying, I'm not going out to see it anymore because they're lying to us.
Yes. Yes.
And it hurt that company.
Yeah.
So I want to give the people what they should have got. And the LOD have got to beat the Brainbusters. Even if they don't go any further, they got to win this match to make up for that.
No, I do think we're trying to set some things right. And I think it was one of the – yeah. And they ended up – I don't think they beat the Brainbusters for the titles. They ended up beating somebody else because the Brainbusters end up leaving the company – after they saw Paul Ellering got a better payoff. I think it was Great American Bash 88, maybe. Paul Ellering got a better payoff than they did.
Yeah,
they gave their notice, and then they, at a house show, dropped the belts to the Midnight Express.
Which, as you know, I have footage of.
Yes.
Purchased from my good personal friend, Jimmy. I call him Jimmy. Most people call him Jim Cornette or James E.
Cornette.
Mr. Cornette. I call him Jimmy.
You going to call him your friend after he hit you in the back with a tennis racket?
Well, you know, it's okay. You ask him to do it.
And then I cut your camera off.
I have such a great memory that Jim Cornette hit me with a tennis racket.
Yeah.
Have I mentioned that before?
You haven't mentioned it in a long time.
I have a memory that all the marks who are listening to this wish they could go around and tell everybody that they had.
Yeah.
Which is that Jim Cornette hit him with a tennis racket, and he actually did.
And let me tell you, okay, I was there, all right? I took the picture of Mark and Jim Cornette, and Mark had paid him $20 or whatever, and I said, I'll give you
– No. I didn't pay him for the picture.
Right. We had bought
I bought the Midnight Express scrapbook.
Yeah.
And we bought the Mid-Atlantic film.
Lost, yeah.
And I just said, hey, can I get a picture? And he was like, yeah, absolutely.
Right. And then he leaned over to sign your stuff. And I said, I'll give you $20 if you hit him on the back with a tennis racket. And I don't remember why you bent. Mark just kind of gave him his back. And when Jim Cornette hit him, we were in a ballroom at a hotel.
Yeah.
And it was a pop. And the entire room stopped and looked to see what had happened.
Yeah.
And then they said, oh, that's just Jim Cornette hitting Mark Hansen with a tennis racket. And then his jabroni friend didn't even film it.
Didn't even film it. Like, got the camera going after it was over.
But we've still got pairs.
We got, that's right.
All right.
That's right. This next one's easy.
Yes. Mark's been waiting for this. Harlem Heat and Red Dragon. This goes about 2 minutes.
If that.
Yes.
If that. And Harlem Heat destroys Red Dragon.
Right.
To advance. I don't even need to talk about this match. I've been trying to get Red Dragon out of this thing.
The bias of the booker.
Oh, that Mark Whitman, he's obsessed with bodies. He don't like them little guys. You're right.
Pity, man. So anyway, this is so there.
Every time I think we're going to run through these four matches in 4 minutes,
yeah,
we still wind up going 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah, it's all good.
I want everybody to know something, though. We had a conversation when I come in today. We're going to finish up this next round. We might do one more round. Then we're going to sit down and actually have a conversation about wrestling because we ain't done that in a while.
Right. I love.
We're going to talk about Logan. We're going to talk about Kong Skull Island.
I haven't seen it yet.
I saw it yesterday.
Really?
It's incredible.
Really?
Yes.
We tell you, this is the wrestling podcast where we talk about the wrestling you grew up with, the wrestling you need to watch now, and the wrestling you wish you'd have seen,
and stuff.
I love the fantasy booking. We're going to finish this tournament. We're going to talk about, we're talking about other things. We're getting ready eventually to do a promo tournament here. We're trying to do stuff that other podcasts are not doing. But you know what other podcasts aren't doing that they could never do that we do? And that's just me and you just being ourselves.
Eat all the pizza on the buffet.
We did. Listen, there was little kids 2 weeks ago. They cried, and when they start their podcast in 20 years, you remember that day we went to the Old Town Pizza Buffet and them two big old fat men ate all the chocolate chip cookie pizza? That's right, kid, and I'll do it again, and I'll tell your mama about next time.
Well, you know one thing, too, like I was thinking the other day, why it was good, I think, for us to take a detour and do this kind of thing was every once in a while something comes along that kind of becomes – that gets a life of its own.
Yeah.
And it kind of becomes a phenomenon
right.
a little bit. And that really has been the Bruce Pritchard show. Something to, like, it has taken over from like the Steve Austins and the Jim Rosses
yes.
have been caught in the wake of this Bruce Pritchard
right.
thing. I could care less about his co-host.
Yes.
I think he's a money mark jabroni.
Yeah.
Don't like him.
Yeah.
Don't care for him. He knows nothing about wrestling. He's a guy that people think because he knows a lot of dates and he remembers stuff that it makes you a wrestling mind.
But he doesn't know. He reads them.
He does, right. He just reads that stuff from the Observer. Anybody can do that. But I love to listen to Bruce Prichard's commentary.
Yes.
I love to hear him tell his stories, even if I think he's telling it through the WWF filter.
Right.
I get that. I don't mind that he has enough integrity to not say this guy who is my friend failed a drug test.
Right.
I like that. I appreciate that he has that integrity about him.
Yeah.
And I bet you don't hear the name Bruce Prichard and integrity mentioned in the same sentence a lot.
Right.
But I find him to have a lot of integrity when he won't tell stories about friends of his.
Right.
Or tell you secrets of his former employers.
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do. That's called having integrity.
Right.
Whether he's doing it to eventually whatever, he still has the integrity not to do it. And I appreciate that. But sometimes when a wave comes, there's no reason for you to listen to me tell stories.
Right.
If you can listen to Bruce Prichard, who was there,
right,
tell the story. So sometimes it's good to pull back on that kind of stuff. To me, it's good to kind of let that wave crash. Because I think the popularity is already starting to wane a little bit.
Right.
I do think a lot of people are getting tired of his co-host.
Yeah, and I was listening to his co-host's other show with Tony Schiavone because I want to hear Tony Schiavone's stories. And he goes in, he's like, hey, and this is, I'm just going to paraphrase. Tony, do you remember that time you guys went, you drove in a black van to a Burger King and you all got Whopper Junior meals and everybody ate and then everybody got food poisoning and you were in the hospital for 3 days? Is that true or was that not true? No, you pretty much hit it on the head.
Yeah, or spend 10 minutes telling a story and then say, is there anything else you want to add? And Prichard will go, no, you pretty much told the story. Yes.
Yeah, it is getting harder it is getting harder and harder to listen to a 2-hour podcast where this is no joke. An hour and a half of it is a guy reading the Wrestling Observer.
And the other half is the guy going, I don't know, I was out there doing commentary.
Right.
Yeah, I don't care for that. And I like Schiavone, I just don't care for that.
I don't think he's not asking the right questions. You know what I mean?
Yes.
If
you're the commentator, you're not backstage for any of this stuff. So it's all hearsay and speculation. Prichard was there.
Right.
He was there when these things were happening. Schiavone was out doing – I couldn't tell you about any of the conversations that go on at 3 Count.
Right.
Because I'm not there. I'm out for 3 hours while the show's going on. I don't know what goes on backstage.
Yeah. I won't say that. But
what?
Well, I mean – we have our conversations, do what we do pre-show.
Right.
And then we go out to the table with a plan.
Yeah.
And sometimes there are audibles called.
Right.
But it's all good. I enjoy it. So, hey, let us know what you think about the tournament. Let us know what you think about the other wrestling podcasts that aren't as good as us. Yeah, I mean, I know they got 1 million listeners. That didn't mean they're better than us.
No.
We're better workers.
Listen, there's more people that'll eat today at a McDonald's than will eat at Black's Barbecue, but that don't mean Black's Barbecue ain't better than McDonald's.
That's right. So, listen, Bruce Prichard's copying us. I just want to say that.
Their show does have a lot of similarities to ours.
Listen, you go back and listen to our WCW 96 show. But here's how he copied us. He used his podcast to get a job with a wrestling company. We already been there, done that. Not with not one, but two companies.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, one company, the other, whatever.
I'm going to talk about that on Carrie's Corner today.
Really?
I got asked a question about kind of did I intend to get back into, was it always a plan for me to get back in?
Right.
Did I want to get back in? And I'm going to talk about the pros and cons of
yes
of that. Some of the some of the sacrifices that you have to make to this,
right,
to be involved with that, and,
yeah,
and how that can sometimes enhance this. And there's a trade-off there. Some things that right. you can't necessarily do anymore with this. You know what I mean? Like, and it's, I'm going to talk about some of that.
Right. And I.
But that you have to be a patron to
right.
that, because I don't talk about that stuff on the show.
And I typically, you know, I leave the patron domain to Mark because he knows what he's doing. But
and they prefer it. That way,
but also. But there's some things that I would
every
like.
Every time you even get involved with anything in the patrons only group,
everybody rolls their eyes.
It just becomes like this public beatdown of your ego, which is great for me. Like as I told you, you can have the 80,000 jabronis,
right?
Because the small group that we got in the patrons only group are loyal Mark Whitman fans.
Right. Oh, time, my goodness.
And every time you get involved and say anything, they just rip you apart, which is great.
So after you post Carrie's Corner today, about 10 minutes later, I'll delete it. Where's Carrie's Corner? I don't know, yeah. guys. I recorded it. I don't know where it's at. I hit the button. Hey, speaking of hitting buttons, you need to hit us up on Twitter. I'm at Heath Mulliken.
I'm at the DDK show.
Mark mentioned patrons. Patreon.com/DoubleDropkick for a dollar a month. Hey, shout out to Albert Moss.
Yes.
Our newest patron. Albert, your picture's in the mail, your autographed picture. We appreciate.
Who did he get? Do you remember?
He got DDP. He's getting really? DDP, so that's coming in the mail.
The new Hall of Famer.
DDP. Yeah. So, hey, I bought. Yeah, so. Anyway, continue listening. This has been the I don't know what part of this tournament it is, but who cares? It's the Death Dealers Invitational. It's the way we do it. Thanks for listening. And for the Double Drop Kick Show, I'm Heath Mulliken.
And I'm Mark Whitman.
And that's it this week, fans. So long for now.